What's up, guys, and welcome back to the Pickleball Connection podcast. I'm Danae.
And I'm Barrett.
And we're super excited to be hanging out with you guys today. Today, we're going to be doing a CTN, which we call Cruise the News. This is where we talk about all the latest pickleball news, some juicy goss, and some relatable stories and answer your questions. So Barrett, are you ready to get into it?
Let's get into it.
Is right here. We gonna give them what they came for. We gonna take it up from last year. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Watch the game change. Yeah.
What is our first CTN topic for the day?
So yeah, this is going to be pretty interesting. I know that if you caught our last episode, we were talking about hot paddles because that is all the latest buzz right now. When we say hot paddle, what we mean is there's these new paddle technology that's coming out in the pickleball space, and the ball's noticeably flying a lot faster. There's been a lot of people that have been concerned about safety issues and just the fact that the game itself seems to be changing. So as we're recording this podcast, there was just recently some information released regarding the Yola Gen 3 paddle. And if you go into the Kitchens forum on if you go into the Kitchens forum on Facebook, it's everywhere. So basically, I'm going to pull up a post here. This one says, this was posted 8 hours ago. It says, the Yola Gen 3 was removed from the USAP approved list. What will the PPA Tour do? Another one says, just spoke with Yola customer service that the paddle is not approved as of right now, and they're issuing a statement this morning. They expect this will be resolved quickly, but for those of us that are playing the APP next week, what the heck do we do? Great timing. So basically, people are up in arms because this new paddle came out. There was a lot of buzz around how fast the paddle was playing. And a lot of people were pushing back because it just didn't seem safe. And now the USAPA has removed this paddle from the approved list. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's really interesting because if you guys weren't at our last episode, I would encourage you to go watch it and actually go look at the YouTube comments, because people really were up in arms and they were like, I'm an amateur player. I'm scared to play anyone with a Yola Gen 3. Like, it's really interesting just hearing people's conversations about these paddles since they had come out. And so the fact that this happened and even happened really fast, I had heard rumors that they were going to maybe address it next year. But the fact that USAPA Pickleball took it off the approved list, to me, that says, especially if you're playing APPs, you want to be watching that really closely, because APP is governed by USAPA. That's very clear. Now, when it comes to PPA, we'll get into that a little bit later, but I do think it's interesting. And honestly, I'm a little bit in favor of them banning the Yola Gen 3.
Why would you say that? Why are you in favor of them banning it?
I think it's changing the game. I think it genuinely changes the way the game is played. And, I'm okay with evolving the game to an extent. I don't want it to become tennis. I don't want it to become, only bang, 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 bang. Like, the way that the paddle technology is changing is making it honestly dangerous. And that's my biggest concern, especially for rec players, especially for the amateur play. I don't want to go to a court and play with somebody that has a really hot paddle or even a delaminated paddle. That's very scary. I've played with that before. We've had this topic of conversation multiple podcasts. I have shown up with bruises on my face because I get
Get hit in the face more than anyone I know.
I know. And so all that to say, I'm actually in favor of this. I feel like this was a really drastic move from the USAPA, but I think a necessary move.
Yeah, it's like, where do you draw the line? At some point they have to put their foot down, or else people are just going to be continued. I think the lines continued to be crossed over the last you know, 6 to 9 months or so. So at some point, something had to change. And this, right. they said this one was a little too much, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, I think there's so many ways you can evolve paddle technology. Like, I would like to see more spin added. Like, I think that's like a way that we can evolve technology. I think spin makes the game really interesting, but I don't think that we need more power and speed, especially for the fact that people are playing 14 feet away from each other at a kitchen line where it's very hard to react. And that was some of the YouTube feedback that we got on our last episode. Again, you guys should go check that out, where people are saying, you know, my reflexes, especially, you know, somebody said, I think in the last one, I think it was Danny, and he said, I'm an older player and I'm very scared to play somebody with a Yola Gen 3.
Right, right. Another thing that I just read before, there's people talking about, you know, it's unfortunately Yola's customer service has never gotten the greatest rep. And some people are saying that, you know, as they're reaching out to, you know, customer service, like, hey, I just spent all this money on this paddle. Mm-hmm. Now it's not approved. I can't play with it. You know, obviously it's a big deal. And in one hand, you have Yola that's like, well, you told us that it was approved.
Yeah.
And we manufactured a bunch, but now it's not. Like, I can see how Yola would think that wasn't fair. But then the consumer, it's also doesn't seem fair as well, you know? So it's just an interesting situation. I really want to know from you guys, though, that are listening, have any of you dealt with this? Have any of you bought a Gen 3? Have any of you reached out to customer service and not gotten responses? You know, I know that it's causing a lot of almost chaos, but like, this is the evolution of the sport. Like, yeah. as we've talked about this, the sport is becoming legit, you know? We've had accusations of cheating, PEDs, you know, we've had paddles get banned, you know, just like I remember back in the, you know, early 90s when people were showing up with corked baseball bats and people were getting suspended for altering baseball bats in baseball. You know, this is the evolution of the sport, mm-hmm. and regulations have to change and be more solidified as the sport grows. But yeah, I'd love to hear from people in the comments if you've had issues with the Gen 3 or any other paddles. Have any of the other paddles been banned?
Yes. So I saw that Christian Alshon's paddle is also not on the USAPA list. So that's really interesting. I did see that the gearbox is still there. So that's because, again, people were pretty up in arms about the gearbox coming out. But that, to my knowledge, is still on the approved paddle list. So again, it's really interesting. I think this is going to be very fluid too. Like, I don't know how long this is going to stand. I think right now we're in a really volatile time in this sport because it's so young and a lot of people are getting into it. And so things are changing almost on a daily basis. It's like kind of wild time to be in pickleball, but that's just something to be really aware of. Again, especially if you're playing any APP tournaments, I would just keep an eye on that list because that's going to be something that I do know that the APP is going to rely on.
Right. And speaking of paddles, you know, I'm pretty pumped for the new Amped Pro that's coming out. You know, I know that this paddle seems to be kind of a blend between the Power Air and also the Lux, kind of the in-between kind of hybrid style paddle. So really looking forward to playing with that one. But I have another thing I would like to bring up here. Did you see the information or the news that just got released about the UPA?
Tell me about it.
So the UPA, this was just announced just this morning, I believe, that the PPA and the MLP, so for those of you that don't know, the PPA is the Professional Pickleball Association, owned by the same, under the same umbrella as the MLP, which is Major League Pickleball. This is the team format. Just announced that there's going to be a new governing body that rivals the USAPA. So backtrack a little bit. What we're talking about is these paddles are not on the USA Pickleball approved list. This has been the governing paddle regulation system in pickleball for years and years and years. In order to, you know, have a paddle hit the market, it has to be approved. Well,
rules, right?
Yeah, rules as well. Yeah. Rules as well. So this kind of the governing rules and regulations in pickleball, but the UPA or the UPA-A, the United Pickleball Association, you can go to, I believe, unitedpickleball.com. And it's a new association under the MLP and PPA that are going to have a player-led committee. and also a manufacturer-led committee. So they're giving the players a little bit more of a voice, and they're also giving the manufacturers a voice as well as to what is safe. And so it's a little different than having just a third-party governing body. What do you think about this, and what will it do to USAPA, or do you think this will change the standards of the rules at all in terms of regulations?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really interesting right now. I guess my first thought is like, shoot, this sounds like a lot of conflict ahead. You know, you have two different tours, right? You have, I'm kind of merging PPA and MLP just because they're working together, but you kind of have that group of tour, and then you have the APP tour, and now you have two governing bodies that are going to be saying, or could potentially be saying, having different rules and regulations for those tours. So it's kind of interesting. I think my first thought is like, sounds like some potential drama and conflict when it comes to rules and regulations. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think it's going to be good. I think, you know, as it's been, as the sport's evolved, you know, there's some players that are more vocal online. There's some players that go and they publicly, you know, call out paddles, but not every player is like that, you know. And I think having,
well, and it's a liability to do that as a player. I think, you know, you're putting yourself at risk for, you know, people not wanting to sponsor you, or, you right. know, like it's scary, you know, as a professional player to speak out about something when, you know, it's like, don't bite the hand that feeds you. Right.
Yeah. So I think having a player led committee will maybe let some of those other players have a voice and kind of be able to shape the game a yeah. little bit more, which is nice. I think people have been saying in the pro pickleball scene for a while, there needs to be some sort of player led committee.
Yeah.
That's contributing to the growth of pickleball, because it's been a committee that's been making everything happen, and then the pro pickleball players get to react, but they don't really get to have a say in how the sport's growing. They just kind of react to how it's growing. So I think it's going to be interesting. But again, guys, hey, let us know in the comments, what do you think is going to happen when it comes to the future of pickleball in terms of paddle regulations? Do you think this is a good idea to have a new governing system, a new governing, you know, rules and regulations? Or do you like the USA pickleball and do you kind of wish it just stayed with one? I'm very interested to see what you guys have to say there. But any other comments on that, or do you want to go to the next one?
Oh, we can go to the next one.
We need to tell you about a must-have for anyone in the pickleball world. If you're an avid pickleball player and don't have this app downloaded on your phone, you're missing out on so much. Meet the Selkirk TV app, the first and only free streaming and on-demand app dedicated to everything pickleball. Whether you're a player, a fan, or just curious about the sport, Selkirk TV is your one-stop shop for all things pickleball. Get exclusive early access to content you won't find anywhere else, like lessons, courses, podcasts, and more. Imagine improving your game with the pros or catching the latest pickleball buzz before anyone else. If you're already watching this episode on this app right now, thank you. But if not, what are you doing? Download the Selkirk TV app now. It's a must-have for anyone who loves pickleball. Okay, cool. What you got for us?
So I found this comment on Reddit, and it's pretty sweet. Ready?
Yeah.
So here it goes. I'm in my 50s, in good shape, mainly because of 1 year of BP. 5'10", 160 pounds, not particularly athletic, but fairly agile. Kind of goes into like his pickleball level and all this stuff. Then he goes into this. I've done ATPs quite often. I guess that means I can react and execute some shots that require some level of body and ball handling, but I've never encountered an opportunity that screams to me that I should jump in for an Ernie. I do feel like jumping is a bit of a physical challenge. Am I missing the right setup or signal? How do I actually practice this on my own terms or the proper way to hop? I dream of doing an Ernie.
Oh, yeah. That is sweet.
Yeah, it's sweet.
Yeah, it's like this 50-year-old that
mid-50.
Dreams, the dream of Ernieing, you know? This guy just wants to Ernie. I love it. He's like, I hit the ATPs. I just want to Ernie, but it sounds like he just doesn't know when to go or how to go or how to set it up. But yeah, when it comes to Ernies and setting up Ernies, do you have any like tips? What do you look for when you're going for an Ernie?
So my biggest giveaway for an Ernie is, you know, typically when someone dinks out wide, okay, and you're in front of the person that they're dinking out wide. This is really good, especially for cross court. And a great signal is actually to look at their hat. And if their hat tips down, meaning that they're looking down at the ball, that's when you creep around to the side and you surprise them because you're right there. They see you going, it kind of gives away the element of surprise for the Ernie. So that's kind of a little tip that I learned that's really helpful. And to this guy, like, you actually don't need to jump. I kind of am a fan of the runaround Ernie.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you think, or what would you say?
Well, let me just say this, just to make sure everyone knows what an Ernie is. I'm sure most of you do, but an Ernie is when you kind of jump the corner of the kitchen, go around to the side, and you're kind of near the net and you reach into the kitchen and volley the ball out of the air, kind of taking time away from your opponents. I think this guy's saying, like, it's hard to jump. And like you said, there's different types of Ernies. And, you know, you guys, you can jump across that corner. You can kind of shuffle around the corner. But another way that might be effective for this guy, you can actually step a foot into the kitchen. As long as you, in other words, you can cut through the corner of the kitchen, mm-hmm. as long as you reestablish both feet outside of the kitchen before hitting the ball. So I've seen people literally take a step into the corner of the kitchen and then reestablish both feet on the mm-hmm. outside and then hit the Ernie. So you don't always have to jump, I think is what we're saying.
Yeah.
But yes, the Ernie is a wonderful shot. It's fun to, you know, I think that part of Ernieing is you have to be willing to miss an Ernie, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just, you know, you're not going to get it right every time. So just go for it in practice. What do you guys think though that are listening? Do you guys think, is the Ernie one of your favorite shots? Have you found the same difficulties? Let us know in the comments, but I agree with you. I think that the bill of the hat is a good one. If they're not wearing the hat, I think if they turn their body, as in if their chest goes toward the sideline.
If you see their cheek, right? Because they're not looking at you.
Yeah. I think another quick tip for that would maybe be just to, you know, also make sure you're dinking middle, because if you're dinking middle, they're going to start pushing the middle and then it opens up that outside for you to go for the Ernie. So don't just hit that outside spot waiting for it, but dink middle and then see if that opens up.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Okay. Should we go to the next one?
Let's do it.
All right, cool. So this next topic, it is also from Reddit. Don't you love Reddit?
Love Reddit.
I love the unfilteredness of Reddit. Let's go. Okay. So, this is a post on Reddit and we talked about something similar to this a few episodes ago, but basically this was posted one day ago. It's got a ton of engagement and it says this, it's titled "Pickleball Saved My Mental Health." Now, if you guys remember a few episodes ago, we were talking about apologizing. Those people that you play with in pickleball that are over-apologizers, they mess up. Every single time they mess up, they say, "Oh, I'm sorry." And there was an article kind of written about how that affects mental health, over-apologizing, and the psychology behind that. But this is a little bit different. This one here says, "I started playing pickleball about 5 months ago. It's my passion and my lifeline. From the moment I stepped onto the court, I knew I'd found something special. Through pickleball, I've discovered a supportive community of players who share my love for the game, and I now consider them friends. Their camaraderie and encouragement have been amazing in my journey towards a better mental health." And he continues to go on, and he's basically says, "Pickleball is my therapy. Mm. It's my passion." And so I was just actually, you know, I thought it was a very touching post. Just because I think a lot of people can relate, but I was actually a bit shocked at how many people have stories like this in the comments where pickleball almost seems like it saved them. What's your thoughts on this?
I'm actually not shocked. And I feel like, because I get it, like, pickleball totally impacted my life in so many ways. Like, I remember how I got into it was I was missing people in my life. I was missing friends in my life. My history is like all solo sports. You know, I was a long distance runner. I did snowboarding and rock climbing, mountain biking. And those are very like adventurous and fun sports, but they're not very social. Like, you can't really get to know somebody flying down a mountain. You know, you can't really get to know somebody hanging off a cliff. Like, that's just not really how it works. And I was kind of in a place in my life where I was like, man, like, I'm having a lot of fun, but I'm doing a lot of stuff alone. And I found pickleball and it found me friends. And so like, I totally get what this person is saying, because I feel like for me, pickleball was this social outlet where I felt like I could find friends that were wanting to be active and be outside. And, you know, I was friends with people that were in totally different age groups, which, you know me, like I love like older people. Like they're just so fun and so interesting.
She loves old people.
I wasn't going to say it like that, but, but I do. I love like making friends, you know, in a different generation, because I feel like you just learn so much. And pickleball was like the only activity that I felt like I could do that with. And so for me, pickleball totally impacted my mental health. It totally gave me a community and it totally changed my life. Like, I'm not surprised that this person said that and that other people are having, you know, similar experiences. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, I think, you know, everyone has a story. Everyone has, you know, they come from a different place. And I think, you know, I grew up in, unlike you, I grew up in team sports. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I had team sports, but it was always in a very like competitive environment. And obviously there's competitive environments in pickleball, but I didn't grow up just going to a rec night a couple nights a week and sitting around and talking with people and joking and having a, you know, it was much more serious, I think. Mm. And I think that something about being able to be outside, meet people from all walks of life. I think I maybe heard this on another podcast, but I think the thing about pickleball is you could have a multi-millionaire on the court next to a school janitor, mm-hmm. that they both come after work and they're partners on the court and they're having a great time. And mm-hmm. those two types of people would never interact. They'd never cross in another another area of life, right? And so I think pickleball just lends, we all need each other, you know? And mm-hmm. I think pickleball lends us, pickleball creates an environment where we can really, you know, get around people. And I think people are really important, you know? Yeah. The game is really social. I didn't play tennis. I don't have a tennis background, but what I've heard about that is you're kind of far away. Obviously you're further away from each other on the court and there's less people that can, you know, you don't go to the tennis courts and see a bunch of people waiting to play. You don't have that social type interaction. So I think just that in general, also obviously the practical side of it, exercise, mm-hmm. being outside. I think a lot of those things are proven to help things like depression, anxiety. And I'd love to hear, guys, I would love to read in the comments, you know, has pickleball done this for you?
Yeah. And I think too, like, I feel very fortunate about when I grew up, because like there wasn't so much social media and like internet and all this stuff. And like, we really live, like I was reading this article a while back and it talked about the loneliness epidemic that America is facing. And a lot of it due to how connected we are online. Like people think that they think they have real friends and friendships online, but like an online friendship is very different than like meeting somebody in person. And I just feel like pickleball really creates this environment where you can come from any walk of life and meet these people in person, and you're not on your phone. You can't like be staring at a screen and trying to connect. And I feel like it's curing this like loneliness epidemic. So I think it's just radically very, very, very special.
That's well said. I love that. Well, guys, again, let us know if you guys have a story like this. We'd love to read them. And also, as we've shared in previous episodes, if you have any questions that you want to send in or topics you want us to cover, also let us know that in the comments. And that leads me to, we had a question come in from our latest episode. I wanted to read it to you and kind of get your thoughts. I'll give my thoughts as well. But as we recalled in the last episode, we were talking about the game changing. We were talking mm-hmm. about how it's becoming more and more aggressive, and a lot of that due to the paddle technology and the evolution of the game. So this question was pretty interesting. It came in and this guy had an idea on, you know, what could we do to keep up with the game changing. And so this is the question that came in. What do you think about extending the kitchen line 6 to 12 inches for safety and to counter the increased ball speed? So I want to ask, so right now, 7 feet. So let's just say it went to 7.5 feet. Obviously, the game might feel, I think 6 inches would be more manageable than a whole foot.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you think? How do you think this would change the game?
I mean, you definitely would have more time to increase your ability to react. I feel like volleying the ball would be way more difficult. Can you imagine if it was like a foot more than you're already reaching into the kitchen? I mean,
yeah.
You definitely see way less like flicks and stuff like that. Or
right. And so like that's an interesting point. You probably would see less flicks, but I don't feel like flicks are the dangerous part of pickleball.
Even volley dinks, you know, like you just wouldn't be able to.
People would be letting most of the things bounce.
Yeah, you would probably have to.
Which I feel like whacking a ball off the bounce, it's usually coming.
Whacking.
Did I say whacking?
Yeah, I like that.
I feel like whacking the ball off the bounce is usually going to come harder than if somebody flicks it. Would you agree?
Yeah, but I mean, the flick is more of an element of surprise, right? So
obviously not like an overhead, but like.
I mean, here's the thing. It would make the short, what we call the short game, meaning you're dinking and that, it would make that very interesting. And you'd have to be really like, you know, I think we'd see way more aggressive dinking. I think you'd see less, you know, attacks out of the air, volley dinks and that type of stuff though.
We should try it. We should take like some tape and just make a new kitchen line and see if we notice.
It'd be interesting to like, just, you know, play around with it. I like that. You know, I've heard people say they want to, you know, extend the sidelines more, but you know, there's already all these courts made. I'm like, that's not really practical. This is actually kind of practical because you have to change is the line.
Well, I've actually heard I think some of the pro players had ideas not to scoot the sidelines out, but to scoot the net posts out.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So scooting the net posts out, like right now, they're about a foot. I believe they're exactly a foot off of the sideline. Mm-hmm. And so if you made them 2 feet off the sideline, now you could dink much more aggressively cross court without having to worry about an ATP. ATP would, I mean, obviously the ATP is such a fun part of the game. It'd be, you could still hit one,
yeah,
but it would create a lot more like really, you wouldn't have to worry as much about really pulling somebody out wide.
It would be more of a weapon to do that rather than a liability.
Right. So I think that could change kind of the strategy of the game. But to this guy's point,
it's interesting. It's interesting to think about.
It is interesting to think about. I kind of want to try it. Or maybe like it'd be interesting to see like if, what do you think? Let's say like, top team in the, let's say Ben Johns and Anna Lee.
Oh no.
Play against.
These are hard for me to answer.
No, just listen to this. Let's say Ben Johns and Anna Lee play against us, but we have a 7 foot kitchen and they have a 10 foot kitchen on their side. I mean, I think they still beat us.
I think they'd kill us.
It'd be interesting to go out and check it out. But yeah, that was a great question. I
thinking about it.
I thought that was fun. And I will be interested to see kind of how the game changes. Whether it's ball technology, paddle technology, will they make changes to the court? Let us know, guys. What do you think?
If you can make one change to pickleball, to any of those things, paddle, ball, court, comment it down
below. Or other. I'm interested to see what you guys have to say.
Comment down below. If there's a really cool one, we'll share it next week.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, guys, just a reminder, the Amped Pro, I believe it comes out today.
Today. So, huge day.
So the Amp Pro, if you haven't picked up the Amp Pro, they look really sweet. I've dinked around with one. I'm really excited to hit it from the baseline.
If you like the Power Air, but you're like, ugh, I wish it had like a little less and a little more control, like less pop, more control, I think that you would really like this paddle. It's very similar feeling in your hand. And
it feels like the Power Air, but it's kind of, you know, it's a little thicker and you have a little more touch.
A little more touch. So again, if you really like the Power Air, but you want a little more control, you should really check this paddle out.
Yeah, head on over to Selkirk.com and get yourself an Amp Pro. And other than that, I don't think I have anything else. What do you think? Do you have anything?
I do not.
All right, guys. Well, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of the Pickleball Connection. We will see you on the next one.